Courage is the ability to face fear, overcome fear, and then act in the face of fear. Courage isn't fearlessness, because genuine, actual fearlessness is not a really good idea. There are things to be frightened of out there, and there are things that should generate fear in people and an appropriate response to those things. But what's really interesting today is a story that highlights the difference between what conservatives fear and what progressives fear. And not only does it point out that there's a significant difference, in fact, a shocking difference between what these two political groups fear the most, a story that talked about those results appears in Town Hall magazine today, and the headline is, wait, these are the top three concerns for Democratic voters? Yes, it's insane. It's written by Matt Vespa, and Matt concludes his article by saying the following: there are two Americas. One is grounded in reality and wants to get this country back on its feet, and the other would rather wallow in a glass case of emotion whining about how Donald Trump has supporters. That's what the data seems to indicate. I'll let you make up your mind for yourself. So let's get started with the list of what progressives fear the most. This is what the poll results show. And as always, there's all kinds of caveats about a poll, but nevertheless, it does show some pretty interesting differences. So let's take a look at the chart for what the Democratic identified voters fear the most and in what order. So according to this survey, the number one fear among Democrats is Donald Trump's supporters. Yeah, that's what it says. Democratic voters' number one concern in their lives, the most important thing to them on the table, is Donald Trump supporters. Interesting, isn't it? Because I don't recall ever seeing progressives beaten up by conservatives because they wanted to go to a progressive lecture on campus. I don't recall any signs of black-booted, black-shirted Republicans basically intimidating people on campus. I don't see any signs for Donald Trump supporters calling for the elimination of liberal speech on campus. I don't see Donald Trump supporters controlling the news media and the narrative and everything else. I don't see any of that. And yet, that is, according to this survey, the number one concern, the number one fear that Democrats have is a fear of Donald Trump supporters. Since I'm a Donald Trump supporter, and chances are pretty good that you are as well, probably nobody in the country is as able to justify or quantify, maybe, the ridiculousness of that fear. The fact that you can say that the number one concern of mine in the world right now, number one, top, is Donald Trump supporters, if you believe that, then you know nothing about Donald Trump supporters, and this is not coming to me as a terribly big surprise. But let's move down the list, see what else we can find among the top fears for people who identify as Democrats. Number two, white nationalism. Yeah, it's hard to walk down the streets these days. God knows, in San Francisco, it's got to be unbearable walking the gauntlet between the Proud Boys pushing you and shoving you around, and then the lines of KKK people throwing rocks at black people as they step by. It's got to be pretty, pretty terrifying out there in Democrat land. Again, it's a ghost fear. Nobody is promoting white nationalism. There aren't white nationalism, white supremacy classes on campus. There aren't seminars teaching people at businesses how to be white supremacists or how to value white nationalism. On the contrary, whiteness itself, which is a term that doesn't mean anything, is completely under attack in this country everywhere you look. And if you were to invert these two things, you'd have a sensible person. If you had a person who said, I am mostly concerned about Antifa violence, and then I'm concerned about the demonization of white people, that person would be living in reality. But these two things are utterly inverted from what is actually happening in the world, but we shouldn't let that slow us down. Number three, systematic racism. Okay. Number three concern in the world, systematic racism. Worried about China murdering Uyghurs and concentration camps and stuff? No, not even on the list. Doesn't even make it to the list and in any position. You worried about economic collapse? You worried about the debt? No, we're not worried about any of that. Our third biggest worry is systematic racism. That's the third biggest thing in the country. Number four is gun violence. Again, if you want to look at the actual cases of gun violence, chance of you being injured or killed in a school shooting is microscopic, but if you're a black person living in one of America's democratically controlled cities, it's far from microscopic. It's approaching likely 8,000 murders a year in this country. Virtually all of those are black-on-black murders in these democratically controlled pits that have been utterly abandoned. The money for whatever infrastructure has been stolen by career politicians who've been there for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. I think it's 130 years in the case of Atlanta. Americans lacking health coverage comes in at number five. Now, that to me seems to be the first reasonable concern. I don't think I'm going to like their solution, but that's a reasonable concern. It's reasonable to be worried about the fact that some people can't get the health care they want or aren't getting the health care they want. That one strikes me as rational, comes in at number five. After that, domestic terrorism. So let's just do the math, shall we? When was the last domestic terrorist attack? If they're talking about domestic terrorism, they're talking about acts of terrorism on the part of Americans. I think you have to go back to the bombing of the building, of the Murtha building in Oklahoma City, which was 22, 3 years ago. Don't remember exactly. And that guy, by the way, was not a conservative. He was a Nazi lunatic. And to say that domestic terrorism is a threat is insane. It's insane. Seven on the list, police brutality. You can make a case that that's a problem in America. But if one thing is true about policing in this country, it's that these acts continue to get fewer and fewer and fewer, more and more and more isolated, more and more ostracized, more and more punished, and so on. And what we're finding is that these places like Milwaukee that have decided to ban the police completely, ban the police to get rid of the police brutality, murder rates went through the ceiling. They defunded the police. Now they start finding emergency funds to refund the police, and now they're trying to hire as many police as possible. That's what's actually happening in Milwaukee and other places. That's not what the narrative says, but that's what's actually happening. Let's ban the police force because of excessive brutality. Okay, things should be better, right? No, they're much, much, much worse. Murder rates, crime rates going through the ceiling. People's lives are much worse. And what reality shows us is that when you take away the police force because you want to get rid of police brutality, which is a noble goal and an achievable goal and should be the goal of every police department in the country. Let's just get that said. But when you decide you're going to ban the police because of police brutality, what you find in the real world is that the lives of everybody in that community become enormously more dangerous. And so they scramble to replace the police after they've utterly demoralized them. Next on the list of things to worry about in this country is discrimination against LGBTQ Americans. Hardly a day goes by when I don't drive down Ventura Boulevard here in Los Angeles and watch gangs of rednecks pulling homosexuals out of Starbucks and dragging them down the street to their eventual lynching sites against chain link fences. You know, it is the LGBT communities we talked about yesterday that is at war with the rest of the country, determined to make the rest of the country accept their standards of what they take to be real and true. It's the LGBT community that is trying to make everybody else in the world say, of course men can have babies and of course men can breastfeed. Sorry, chest feed. Sorry. Didn't mean to offend anybody. Nobody's going after the LGBTQ community. It's the LGBTQ community. It's coming after everybody else. And that's fairly obvious if you're not blinded by this entire worldview of invented grievances. After that comes sexism, well, of course. They're still sticking to the 72 cents on the dollar or 78 cents on the dollar trope. If you take the total amount of income generated by men, divide it by the total number of men, then you take the total income generated by women, divide that by the number of women, you do get a difference between these two. And they try to point out that this is due to sexism, but it's not. The reason that men on average get paid more than women is because they work harder jobs at a higher pay for longer hours and more dangerous jobs. All of these things are perfectly natural and they know it, but they continue to stick to this idea. When they talk about sexism being a problem, what they're basically saying is, they really do apparently believe this, either that or they haven't thought this far ahead. But if you go down to Target and you say, I'd like to apply for this assistant manager position, can you tell me what it pays? And the guy who's doing the hiring says, well, it's $42,000 a year for a male, but it's only $37,000 a year if you're a female. And since you're obviously a female, at least you appear to be. It's $37,000. You know what they call that? They call that illegal, is what they call it. It's been illegal forever, and it is simply not there. After sexism comes voter suppression. Voter suppression is the thing that Democrats use to justify voter fraud. They have, as a party, done everything possible to make sure that no one is able to challenge the legitimacy of the vote. Their attitude is voter suppression is the problem, not voter fraud. And therefore, all kinds of illegal aliens and felons and dead people should be allowed to vote because who wants to silence their voices? But voter fraud is voter suppression. If somebody casts a fraudulent ballot that cancels out my legal ballot, my vote has been suppressed. And that's the danger. There's no danger of people who are legitimately able to vote not voting. That is not something that happens in this country. But people who are not allowed to vote or vote tallies and so on, voter fraud, that's a genuine issue. And then after that comes student debt. Okay, maybe you shouldn't have taken out $200,000 of loans for your study of medieval Italian poetry, because you're not likely to make that back on the marketplace. But that's kind of your problem and your decision. And I have been a theater major at college, so I know what it's like to take an easy subject. All due respect to my fellow theater department friends out there, I've sat in on and been part of engineering classes, and I've been a student technical assistant in astronomy classes. And I can tell you which one of those is more difficult than the other. And bottom of the list in terms of things that you should be very concerned about if you're a Democrat is, of course, capitalism. I'd be willing to bet you that when these people who identify as Democrats answered this list of the top 12 things that they are most afraid of, when they wrote capitalism as number 12, I'd be willing to bet you chances are pretty good that they did that on an Apple device in a Starbucks with a signal being carried by Spectrum to satellites that are operated by AT&T, powered by electricity that's generated by a gas-fired plant. But, you know, let's not get too rational about these things. Here we are, filled with riches in all this time in the world, using our private devices on private networks to complain about capitalism. So that's the top 12 for Democrats. Now, if we look at the top 12 for Republicans and we find things that are equally stupid, then there's no unique disadvantage to being a Democrat. Everybody's crazy and everybody's looking at things that don't exist. So let's take a look at what the top 12 concerns of people who identify as Republicans are. According to the survey, if you're a Republican, the first thing you're concerned about is illegal immigration. Is that a fantasy based on nothing, like white nationalism? Doesn't seem so to me. Illegal immigration is a huge problem. Illegal immigration is a problem in terms of crime. It's a problem in terms of illegal voters. It's a problem in terms of having an entire underground economy and people who are living in this country who are not in contact with the society. And what I mean by that is they're living underground. There's no guest worker program. There's no accountability. There's no enforcement. There's no protection against terrorists or anything. I have never seen a Democrat who said there's no problem with illegal immigration, who's been willing to give me their address and tell me, no, anybody can come in anytime they want to. Refrigerators open, doors open, you want to crash on the couch, it's fine, no problem. It's hypocrisy. The people who have to deal the most with illegal immigration are the ones who live on the border. And these people are living in genuine fear, and that's an actual fact. So, judge for yourself. Number two on the GOP list of concerns is lack of support for the police. Once again, we have an example that can be proven in the real world. We don't have to speculate about this. We don't have to theorize about it. As I said earlier, let's just look at Milwaukee. Milwaukee decided to ban the police department, defund it essentially, because of police brutality. So they did. And what happened? Crime went through the ceiling. Murders went through the ceiling. Murders are going through the ceiling in New York. Every one of these cities, Portland is an armed camp filled with thugs where there is no law at all downtown, mostly true for Seattle as well. Is this an improvement? If these places, if Portland and Milwaukee and Seattle were in fact peaceful, calm, happy places where businesses are protected and these community solutions groups were actually working, then we'd be wrong and they'd be right. But they're not, so they're not. It's clear that wherever you cut your police force, things are going to get worse for everybody. But you know who it's going to get worse for the most? The people who are going to suffer the most for a lack of police support are the poorest people, the people in the inner cities. Usually the crime rates that go up the highest are in Black communities, and there are so many honest, hardworking Black people there that are trying to live their lives, but they can't because white liberals have decided to defund the police. Seems reasonable to me. Number three, high taxes. Whether you think taxes are too high or not, at the very least, taxation is a thing, right? It's not like white nationalism or the violence that comes from Trump supporters. Taxation is a real thing. It's a real thing that affects everybody. So, are high taxes a problem? I think they are. I think you should be able to do what you want to with the money that you've earned for yourself. It is absolutely true that some amount of money is needed for governance. But the one thing we find about this government, both on the state and federal level, is that they don't care about what things cost. They don't care about how much they spend. As long as they get to keep a percentage for themselves, they'll take as much as they can. Taxes continue to climb. And the fundamental idea behind high taxes is that the government is better able to spend your money than you are. And I disagree with that. And furthermore, so do the Democrats. They may say that high taxes are good, or they may not think that high taxes is a problem, didn't make their top 12 list. But I've yet to meet a Democrat, not one, who said, you know what, just let's pay some extra. Or said to their accountant, these are all legitimate deductions? Yeah, absolutely. Everybody said, no, don't take them. Put the money into the public treasury for the public good. Never have I ever, ever seen anybody do that. Not ever, not once. They try as hard as they can to pay the lowest tax burden possible. And I don't blame them for that. But to say that high taxes are good and then to do everything you can as a Democrat to not pay them is a form of hypocrisy. Next on the list for Republicans is the general moral decline of the country. Moral decline, is that something we should be worried about? Ping the world. Go and look at reality. Are children happier today than they were 20, 30 years ago? Are they happier today than they were 50 years ago? They certainly don't seem to be. Young children are being sexualized at such an early age, and the stresses on young people now, because of the internet and because of all of these lax moral standards, are causing record numbers, epidemics of depression, anxiety, cutting themselves, suicides, all of it. They're not happy kids, and they're not happy kids because they've been put into an adult world, and that adult world they've been put into is not a particularly sweet-smelling one either. Just the presence of online pornography, just that alone, is warping the minds of hundreds of millions of people around the world. And that applies to things like the sexuality in music videos and so on. Yes, you should be genuinely concerned about the moral decline of the country, because if you don't believe in morality, then where do you get off talking to other people about how virtuous you are? You can't say that I'm a moral person, which is the giant bumper sticker that Democrats put across their foreheads. I'm a moral person. Okay, you must be pretty worried about the decline of morality in the country then. The what? Next on the list for Republicans is socialism. Is being afraid of socialism the same thing as being afraid of capitalism? Republicans rank it much higher. They rank it number 6. Democrats rank their fear of capitalism as 12. Well, what does the world tell us? What does reality tell us? Reality tells us socialism in its various forms has killed anywhere between 100 to 200 million people, maybe higher, it depends. That wherever socialism is imposed upon a people, the first thing that happens is individual rights go away. And once individual rights go away and you're stuck with group rights, then it's a question of picking which one of those groups is going to be the new enemy of the people to explain away the fact that everything's getting worse, and everything's getting worse because nobody's working as hard, and nobody's working as hard because everybody's getting the same reward. If you pay a guy who's a clerk at 7-Eleven the same amount of money as you pay a guy who's a brain surgeon, what you're going to find is that fewer people will become brain surgeons, because studying to be a brain surgeon is hard, and it takes your entire youth, all of it. You don't get to go out and party if you're going to be a top medical student. You don't get to go out and play and get high and sleep until 4 o'clock in the afternoon on school days. You're working like a fiend in order to do something absolutely extraordinary for which you should be rewarded. to say, this is, I'm talking about this ideal socialism, this dream of economic equality, to say that a brain surgeon and a guy who smokes dope and then comes in and steals from 7-Eleven as he's working as a clerk, to say that these people should be paid the same is the greatest injustice that you can imagine, short of physical violence to somebody. It has the siren song that appeals to people who live in capitalist societies. When you're surrounded by wealth and luxury and prosperity, the idea that we're going to artificially distribute this and it's all going to stay there is a very tempting idea. It just doesn't make any sense and it doesn't work. And if you don't believe me, look at Venezuela. Next on the list is Antifa violence. Okay, let's compare that to the violence that the Democrats talk about from Trump supporters. Do we see Trump supporters marching down the streets, beating up people on campuses, making sure that they don't get to lectures? Do we see them smashing windows? No, actually we don't. Next on the list for Republicans is China. China, as I pointed out in the recent firewall, has declared unconventional warfare against the United States and has been executing it for decades now. China steals all of the secrets that American businesses generate, steals secrets that you pay for as a taxpayer that our government is able to generate. They steal everything. In Japan, they're finding out that large numbers of North Koreans are washing up on the shores of Japan dead in their fishing boats. You know why that is? It's because China's illegal fishing fleets are operating so close to shore in North Korean waters that the North Korean fishermen can no longer catch the squid that they need close to shore. They have to go further and further out to sea in order to make enough just to survive. And that means they're subject to rough seas and accidents and all the rest of it. And they're just dying like flies. Nobody cares about that. China is building islands in the middle of the ocean, not just because they're unsinkable aircraft carriers, but they're building a string of islands and then claiming an exclusion zone around those islands so that they can essentially make a barrier along the most important trade route in the world. And, by the way, might be pointed out that it is beyond dispute that the Chinese government sealed off flights from Wuhan to other Chinese cities 5 weeks before they sealed off international flights. In other words, the Chinese Communist Party knew that there was a deadly virus in Wuhan, made sure that that virus didn't go from Wuhan to other Chinese cities, but allowed it to continue out into the world for 5 weeks. You might want to think about that next time you decide not to put China on your list of things to worry about. Legal abortion in the third trimester comes up next for Republicans. Here's one thing that's indisputable about the abortion issue. From the moment of conception to the moment of birth, there is nothing, nothing on that spectrum that's a milestone. There's never one moment where something happens along that spectrum that didn't happen the day before or the day after. It's either conception or birth. Now, if you believe that that women have the right to terminate children at any point in their pregnancy, then technically that means you should be fine with them aborting a baby half an hour before it's due to be delivered. Seems pretty near to murder to me, but not to some people. In fact, Barack Obama was the only national politician of note to say that he supported basically any babies that survived an abortion. He just basically was the only person to support the idea that they should be left to die. They're compassionate people. Election fraud is next. Don't need to go through that again. I've been going through that forever. But obviously, that is a real concern. If you no longer have confidence that your vote is being counted fairly, then you no longer have confidence in the system. I sometimes think that that was the actual intent, was to destroy confidence in the system. But in any event, whether election fraud occurred or not, and I'm utterly convinced that it did on a massive scale, whether it did or not, when one out of two Americans is convinced that it did, you've got a problem. You've got a real, real problem with the confidence in the fundamental of how the country's being run. Number 11 for American Republicans is tech company censorship. That's not on the Democratic top 12 because they don't get censored. But we get censored all the time. I've watched my firewall segments go from 4 million views to 400,000 views to 40,000 views, and now we're at about, well, 8,000, 9,000 views. I've seen people like Alfonso Rachel utterly banned from YouTube. Here's a deeply religious man who doesn't say anything violent or anything of any kind that could be considered immoral. He just talks about his religion and his conviction, but he's such a threat to the liberal narrative that they've completely banned him. We're not going to get into the entire business about the Hunter Biden laptop, which implicated in very clear terms, hard evidence implicating Joe Biden and that story being squashed by tech in the weeks leading up to the election. We've been down this road 1,000 times. That is definitely something to be worried about. And finally on the list is discrimination against Christians. When you really get right down to it, if you want to just take a look at the real world, it was in fact a gay couple that put a Christian bakery out of business for not baking their cake. It wasn't a Christian couple that went to a gay bakery and put them out of business. This is a real concern, and it continues on a daily basis. It's both a hard concern and a soft concern. It's a hard concern in terms of things like I just mentioned, in terms of laws and the application of laws, and it's a soft concern in the sense that virtually every single piece of entertainment, every single piece of the pop culture portrays Christians as either pedophiles or lunatics. That is a serious concern. So, you know what's not on the top 12 list of concerns in this poll of Democrats? Of the 12 things that Democrats are most concerned about, you know what's not on the list? You know what struck me like a... Climate change is not on that list. Isn't that interesting? You would have thought that if you genuinely believe this stuff in your heart, that the world has only got 6 or 7 years to go, and after that, we're done, you would have thought that would be number one on the list. Because if I believed that the Earth had a 5-year lifespan remaining, that'd be my number one concern too. But it's not even on the top 12. Everything on the top 12 for Democrats are fictional things created by a narrative that creates synthetic injustice in order to promote their own sense of moral superiority. Real problems aren't even there. The threats that the Democrats are concerned about are not real threats. The real threats are things that they're not concerned about. And since they're not on their radar, there's nothing that can be done about them. And since they're not willing to look at the actual causes of things like gun violence, air pollution, plastics in the ocean, if they're not ready to look at the actual causes of these things, then we'll never get to a solution. Ever. So, there we are. I think the things that the Republicans claim to be afraid of are things that you should be worried about. I think that the things that the Democrats claim to be afraid of are absolute fiction. And as you've just seen, I'm not making this up off the top of my head. There are real reasons for all of this. You should be afraid of things that are threatening, and you should be worried about them, and you should be concerned and be looking for solutions to them that address the actual problem. For you to list as your top fears things that simply aren't real, and then to realize that half of the country is voting this way, is a sign that the liberal narrative, this control of information, has been spectacularly effective. It's been so effective that it causes people to believe things in contravention to their own lying eyes. No evidence will ever get through, because the entire narrative has been constructed to convince Democrats that all of the things that they claim to be afraid of are real and important, when in fact, virtually none of them exist at all.